Donovan?
Yes.
Who's my next general with?
Your next general, let's see.
And also, where's that fucking macchiato?
You told me you didn't want that anymore.
I want it now.
Okay, I'll get that for you. But you want to meet your next meeting right now?
Yes, my next general.
Okay, it's with Milo Ventimiglia. Milo,
oh
Milo,
my God,
hey.
I love him.
Donovan, how are you?
You ready to see Karen?
Yes, yeah. Right?
Do you want anything to drink before?
I am okay.
You sure?
I'm positive. Maybe a water or a Red Bull or something.
I have a Red Bull right here for you.
Thank you very much, sir.
Karen Sarducci, I'd like you to meet Milo Ventimiglia.
Oh, Milo.
What an honor.
Oh, my gosh.
Honor.
It is so nice to finally meet you.
Pleasure. You have been on the mind of myself as well as other people talking about us getting together, so I'm happy I'm finally in your office. Thank you.
I've been on the mind of other people.
Yes.
Of us getting together.
Yes.
I'm very glad you're here.
Thank you.
Also, I think what you said made no sense, but I love your agent and I love your work.
Thank you. I mean, that's the nice thing about being an actor. Lines are given to us and we can sell them, but original thought, just improving is a bit off for me at times. You have always employed the most amazingly talented writers.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. Well, it truly is an honor. I was just in Borneo with my children, Milo and Ventimiglia, and they have their fingers on the pulse of Hollywood. And they said, oh, Mom, you must meet Milo Ventimiglia. And I said, I would love to. And then they introduced me to your work. Forgive me. I sometimes, I'm a very busy woman.
You run a studio, yes.
But I am now familiar with a lot of your work, and you are brilliant.
Thank you.
You are handsome. You are intelligent. You're incredibly talented. You're intuitive. You're youthful, and I want to throw a few movie ideas past you. I know that you are on an incredible show called This Is Me.
Thank you, us.
And it's just wonderful. It's moving.
Thank you.
It's comedic. It's unexpected. The acting is just incredible.
Yes. Thank you.
I like the way your arm looks in that t-shirt right now.
Thank you. It's
muscular.
You roll one sleeve up, because if you go two, you're in the 50s, you're a greaser, you're Johnny Zucco. But when you just roll one,
I have to say I like your tricep. And if you could give me some tips later, I would appreciate that.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Happy to help. Got a great trainer.
Oh, good.
I've learned so much over the years from Jason Walsh. It's great.
Oh, well, that's wonderful. Mm-hmm. Now, I want to pitch you one commercial movie and then one Oscar movie.
Great.
Now, we don't have the scripts fully fleshed out.
Okay.
But we do have some ideas, and I would love to hear your thoughts.
Yeah, of course.
I know that you can write and create as well as act.
Some, yeah. I like to employ writers, talented people, that is their trade, but you give me a script and I can sometimes just say, well, this part is great or this part sucks. And I'm an on-set fixer, so.
Okay, so now this first one is the more commercial idea.
Okay.
We want to return to the teen movie boom, if you will, of the early 2000s.
Okay.
So this movie, you know what I'm talking about. She's All That.
Of course. Do you know that I was in that? I was in She's All That.
Oh, yeah. That's wonderful.
Yeah, I played soccer. I was soccer player number two or something like that.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah, they cut everything out of the movie, which.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, wonderful.
That's wonderful. Yes, and you know, what was the She's Got Fucked? Or
no, Can't Hardly Wait.
Oh, Can't Hardly Wait.
Yes, yes.
What was the one, like, Let's Get Boned, or?
No, that was Drive Me Crazy.
Oh, okay.
That was a different era, though. That was a little later?
May have been a little bit later, right.
I hate it when you fight. Please don't fight. Oh, but what was the one where let's all get each other wasted and fuck? Isn't that what it was called?
Yes, I think that's what it was called.
Love that movie.
It's good.
Yeah,
right?
It's my childhood.
It's good. Yeah.
Totally childhood.
And stick our penises in pastries. What was that one?
American pie.
Ah.
Yes.
Patriotic.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Wouldn't it have been different if it was Italian pie or Russian pie? We should think about
so
this.
So like a Zeppoli or a tiramisu, borscht. Is borscht or
it's borscht
baklava.
Is a pie, but
no, but that's not
soup.
Russian. Soup.
Let's stick our penis. I don't have a penis, but let's stick it in
soup. If you had a penis, you would stick it in soup. It's warm.
Warm.
Yeah.
With a little bit of sour cream.
Do you like this idea for a movie?
Borscht dick? I don't know. Borscht cock.
I like it. I think it's
borscht
a title.
Borscht cock.
I think that's a good title.
It's a great title. Strong.
Thank you. I like you.
Thank you.
Milo, I really, really like you.
Thank you.
I liked you before, and now I like you even more.
Thank you.
Okay, so now this movie that we have is called Have a Great Summer, Don't Ever Change. Now, we want you to play a high school student.
Uh-huh.
And I know it's a general, right?
Of course.
But if you wouldn't mind reading just a couple of lines, just
sure.
So we can hear.
I have ideas for the poster already. So
this is, once again, Have a Great Summer, Don't Ever Change.
Great.
Donovan will be playing the first line, Party Girl.
Okay, great.
And you'll be playing Party Guy Number One.
Party Guy Number... You know what? This is very reminiscent of my very first acting job. I was Party Guest Number One.
Okay.
Very first paying job ever in Hollywood. Here we go.
What were you guys doing? No one is allowed in the bedroom.
Relax, Ash. We're just taking a little tour. It's
that was perfect.
Thank you. Thank you, Karen. Tell me everything.
Can we do it one more time? Now, here's the thing. Mm-hmm. I need a hint of, I don't want to say rape, but I want a hint of
danger.
Like danger and more a little more laughter.
Yeah.
At the end, if you don't mind.
Got it.
Okay, Donovan, can we do it again?
Yes. How was my line reading?
Great.
Thank you.
I didn't think so, but
horrible.
Thank you, Milo.
Always.
What were you guys doing? No one is allowed in the bedroom.
You know, relax, Ash. We're just taking a little tour.
Oh, Milo.
Yeah?
Oh.
Oh, boy.
Milo, that was wonderful.
Thank you. Thank
that
you, Cameron.
That was wonderful.
Thank you.
I did feel the danger.
There, yes, I felt the rape. Something might have brushed me under the table.
Yes. I wanted to take the tour with you, and I wanted Ash to relax.
And you wanted the souvenir at the end of the tour.
Hey, by the way, Karen.
Yes.
I keep getting text messages from Milo. He wants you to call
God.
Him back.
Is my phone? Oh, my phone's not off.
Damn it.
Oh, other Milo.
Other my son.
Got it. Yeah.
My son.
Do you mind if we call him real quick?
No, let's call.
Yeah,
him.
No. Let's call him.
God damn it. Great. It's probably the fucking school. He's probably smoking weed again. God damn it.
Do you mind if he's on speaker, Milo?
No, that's fine. Doesn't bother me at all.
If he's getting expelled again, what do I do?
Hello,
Milo. Are you smoking
Why are
weed
you
at school?
Calling me,
Mom.
What?
I'm your mom. Call.
I'm in Aspen too right now. Okay.
Okay, Milo. Why the fuck aren't you at school? What the fuck are you
well,
doing in Aspen?
Because all the kids are going to Aspen too, which is actually in Dubai, but they recreated Aspen in Dubai, and it's amazing. And we're all just like. Playing virtual reality, which is with virtual reality without the goggles, who's going around and hunting people.
Milo, are you being
yeah,
good?
Mom?
Are you being good? You're not.
Yeah, I'm being fine.
You're not okay. Are
don't
you?
Don't need school.
Are you smoking weed?
No, Mom. I smoke weed. I smoke cocaine. How many times have I told you? You never listen to me. You never listen to me.
Well, at least it helps with your homework, I suppose. But now listen to me. I have not seen you for 6 weeks.
Yeah.
You're 14.
And yeah, okay, whatever. I'm like a very mature 14. That's what my girlfriend says.
Hey, Milo wanted to
say, Haddad.
Milo wanted to say hi to Milo.
Hi, Milo. It's Milo.
Oh, my God. You have the same name as me. Was he named after me?
Yeah, something like that. I think...
No. No, you weren't.
No, I wasn't.
No. What? Milo, you know this.
I thought you said I was the only person who had this name, Mom.
Listen, I know that your mother, and I'm, forgive me, Karen, I'm going to speak up. I know that your mother can read Sanskrit, and she is very creative, and it is a possible explanation that that we share a name.
No. Son Milo,
like
you were
really
named after your grandfather, Milo Saviciani Sarducci.
Oh, all right, cool. How do you spell it? I spell mine. It's just an M with a symbol on top of it, and then a graphic of
you
a
mean an umlaut?
An arrow.
Do you have an umlaut
no,
over your
it's
eye?
No, it's like my own symbol. It's like a print kind of symbol that I've designed myself. I've been into Kabbalah when I was 11, so it's a symbol from that.
He's really creative.
Yeah.
Incredibly. I mean, the
I'm not
going to
be
cocaine.
Defined by names.
Honey, I love you so much.
Oh, Mom, why do you do this to me, okay? Here's what I loved you with Christmas 2 years ago. How many times do you need it? You're so needy.
Honey, I just love you, and I just, you know.
Okay,
that...
I get it. Remember, my Amazon wish list, just get stuff off of that, please. And that's how I'll know that you, like, care about me.
Baby, you know I will. I love you so much. Have a wonderful time in Dubai.
Blah, 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 blah. I have to go.
Milo,
okay?
Milo, we have to go. Milo?
Yeah, what?
Milo, your mom is in a meeting. We have to go.
But, honey,
oh
honey,
God,
now listen to me. Honey,
oh,
no. Coke is fine. No meth.
Coke, no meth.
Donovan, shut the fuck up.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not from 2015, Mom. Ugh.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Milo Ventimiglia, do you want to say bye to Milo?
Milo, it was great talking to you, really. I mean, to meet over the phone to meet my namesake.
Honey.
So,
that's not...
Honey, are you learning Arabic?
Sorry, but you sound like a great guy, but I'm going to sue you for names.
Honey, are you learning Arabic?
Oh, God. No, I'm not learning Arabic. Okay?
He's
We're
learning
just going to go and have fun.
All right, well...
We actually can swim with Dory from the movie Finding Dory.
Okay, all right, honey.
All right, I'll see you later.
Okay, all right, I love you so much. You're an angel.
Okay, oh, God, you're so needy.
Bye, Milo.
Enough.
Bye.
Bye, Milo.
Goodbye.
Bye, honey.
Goodbye.
I love
Bye.
You. Kisses, kisses, kisses all over in weird places, too.
Where's Ventimiglia, by the way? Is she okay? Or he okay?
Ventimiglia, I think, oh God, didn't we talk about Patagonia or something? Wasn't she gonna like,
I bet it's cold.
It's fabulous.
Really?
Oh my gosh. You know what? You feel as though you were at the end of the earth, except you're not in Antarctica.
Okay.
But there's funny little penguins, not the big ones, but funny little ones. There's also big mountains. There's a lot of snow.
Wow.
Okay, so you're in on have a great summer, don't ever change.
Yes, I think I am in like prom night.
Now I just wanted to clarify though, while you do like to take advantage of people, your character, but then in the end you find it's not all that rewarding.
Because he's taken just by his own want as opposed to earned his place with everyone.
Donovan, Milo gets it.
He gets it.
I do.
Oh.
Listen, being an adolescent teen, I get it.
I love that.
Yeah, yeah.
We're going to have about 8 masturbation scenes because that's where you really find yourself.
Sure. Okay.
Good. Thank you.
Do you have lines for that here today?
Mostly just a uh-uh.
Got it. Okay.
Now the other... movie that we wanted to pitch to you
yes.
is your Oscar movie.
Okay. I've never had someone pitch an Oscar movie. That that's just flattering. I'm so, like, I've never had that.
Oh, we believe
Thank
in you
Thank
here
you.
At Imaginarium. You are...
Thank you.
You deserve everything.
happy to be in great company, shoulder to shoulder.
Yes. Yeah. Now, this movie is called Dick Pic, The Charles Dickens Story. This is a Dick Pic biopic.
Okay.
About Charles Dickens.
Correct me if I'm wrong. What were his years of... his years of operation. He was born when and died when?
He was born in 1814 and died in 1873.
Okay, so photography it was a new thing.
Yes.
It was a new thing.
Well, yes.
Like on tin plates and whatnot.
Well, you're getting ahead of the story a little bit, if you don't mind.
Please, please.
Sure.
Yeah.
So in between the brilliant novels that he wrote, he had sort of a progressive perversion, as we'd like to say.
Sure.
Now, he was a part of the White's Gentlemen's Club, which is the most exclusive club in London.
Okay.
Only a very, very, very select few men are allowed of a certain pedigree and whatnot. Okay. Now, as Charles Dickens, as he confronts his writer's block, he progressively... sort of develops a habit of exposing himself.
Sure. To himself or to people?
At the club.
At the White's Gentlemen's Club.
Yes.
Got it. Okay.
Yes. So at first, your comrades find it amusing. Mm-hmm. Comrades is sort of a communist term, isn't it?
we're going back to Borsch.
Yes, sorry. No.
Dick and the Borsch.
But your friends.
Sure.
They find it amusing.
As one would.
Sure. They're drunk.
Totally.
You pull your pants down. It's funny.
Great.
Now, after a while, though, let's say after maybe like the 78th time, it starts to become less amusing, let's say.
Now, is it harder for him or is it getting a rise out of his buddies?
Do you mean, I'm a little confused. So at first, it's very amusing.
His 78th time, cool. 79th time, was it still hard or he's still getting a rise?
I think he's still thinking.
He's still hard.
It's very funny.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's still hard.
And so we cut to a lot of reaction shots of his friends being like, how are we going to help Chuck at this point?
And, right.
And while his dick is very handsome, what do we do about it at this point? This has been a lot of exposure.
Sure.
At the same time, you've developed syphilis. Because you have a penchant for prostitutes. This is the little known Dick Pic biopic.
Got it.
Of Charles Dickens.
Okay.
So anyway, that's sort of where we're at. We think, Oscar, how do you feel, full frontal?
I'm okay with it. I'm comfortable with my manhood. The question is...
That's wonderful. Jonathan, write that down.
Comfortable with manhood.
Yes. Do you... Because it's Oscar ilk, we'll call it. It's cut from that cloth of you want to see me, Chuck Dickens, really go for it.
Right.
Do you want me to live, embody this role? I tend to, from action to cut, I am my character.
Sure.
So I guess, would you like me to fuck a prostitute?
Yes.
And then contract syphilis from action to cut? Or is this something where we're kind of Stella Adler-ish thinking, you know, the sushi in the window isn't real, but it makes you hungry to walk in and buy the sushi at the restaurant, like in Chinatown?
I hear what you're saying.
Okay.
Here's what we're thinking.
Uh-huh.
We're going to build an 18th century set here in Los Angeles.
Great.
So it's easy for you.
Great.
Of like a village, well, London.
Sure.
Victorian London.
Victorian. Okay. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Hancock
Loves,
Park. Great.
Top
things.
Hats.
Sure.
The Gentleman's Club. Well, provide some extras.
Okay.
You live there for 2.5 years.
Okay.
Continue to expose your penis.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you're right. Let's have some prostitutes, maybe some that have syphilis.
Okay.
Let's have some that don't, right, Donovan?
So you don't know.
So I,
as Chuck, would not know.
Yeah.
Got it.
I mean, it's not realistic that you just... fuck one and contract.
Oh,
syphilis.
No. I mean, Chaz, look, you know, Chaz would follow them all.
So we're going to need roughly a 4-year commitment. But I really think this will pay off.
I think so too, in spades. Yeah.
I'm
I love
so
it.
Glad.
I love it.
I'm so glad.
You know what I am floored by is what? That you not only see me as a commercial actor, but you see me as an artist.
Oh my gosh, yes.
So satisfying. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Milo.
Thank you, Karen.
This has been the best meeting you've ever had, Karen.
Shut the fuck up, Donovan.
Sorry.
Go get some fucking coffee.
Okay.
I love him, but he is a fucking asshole. Can you tell he's an
asshole? I was going to say idiot, but...
I know. Well, yes.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, it's okay. He can't help it.
I didn't hear what he said.
He thinks he's going to climb a ladder.
I heard that.
It's a short ladder. He doesn't know.
I'm right here, guys.
Yeah.
Let's get him a bunk bed.
Seriously.
Step stool.
Okay, well, thank you so much, Milo. It has just been a pleasure.
A pleasure and an honor.
And I can't wait for you to meet Ventimiglia. But Ventimiglia is a wonderful, wonderful person.
Yes, I've heard.
Milo is so wonderful, too. He is such a genius. They both are. They're both geniuses.
Yeah.
And they love you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so, so, so much.
So happy.
Donovan, could you get a parking validation?
Yes.
I
found street parking?
Street parking, yeah. Awesome. On Green.
Oh.
Yeah. No problem. No problem.
Green, what does that mean?
I give back to the earth.
Did you walk here? Or?
I don't need the extra piece of paper of getting the ticket, you know, cutting down the tree and whatnot.
It's just a sticker.
Oh. So that then there's probably some kind of 3M kind of adhesive on it that might contribute to.
Okay, thank you, Milo.
Thank you, Karen. Lovely, lovely, lovely to meet you.
Lovely to meet you too.
Milo Ventimiglia is here.
Milo Ventimiglia is here.
Milo Ventimiglia is here.
And so we had not only like a ton of Twitter followers and Instagram followers request and demand your presence. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
I think it was power suggestion on your part, Anna. I think that's exactly what it was. You put my name in the ether and you materialized that.
Thank you so much for being here.
I'm stoked to be here. Are you kidding me? Best way for to spend, you know, an afternoon.
And we've known each other for a long time.
A very long time, actually. And the three of us, you, Sim, and I, that was how we all met.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
A long time ago.
Yeah. Sheer bliss.
Oh, my God. Crazy.
Winter break.
Well, yeah.
Winter break.
You played my girlfriend.
During the reshoots.
You had really dark hair. And you had a jean skirt on and a red shirt. That's a very specific... Very specific, creepy,
remember that.
Detail, but yes.
No, I like that. Yeah. It's kind of flattering.
Yeah,
you remember
I totally remember. And you were standing across the room, and I was supposed to just be like staring at you. I'm like, oh man, she broke up with me, and then I'm going to Aspen.
I didn't get to go to Aspen.
I know. You would have
fun.
How
did I break up with you?
I have no idea.
What a bitch. Why did Sim?
Because he was actually going to Buffalo, and you didn't want to travel to Buffalo, but he ends up getting kidnapped by his friends, and they take him to Aspen instead.
Mm-hmm. Where he meets Steve Guttenberg.
Steve Guttenberg got
cooler
cut out of the movie.
Girl.
Yeah. Steve Guttenberg got cut out of the movie.
I know. Oh. Maggie Lawson. Yes. Maggie Lawson.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, it's okay.
Is that why you have blonde hair today? Because, like, you broke up with me back then, and then I kind of, like, bailed, but now I went with the blonde girl then.
Yeah.
So here we are today, and you have blonde.
Wow. Yeah. How I get the guy, I guess.
No, not at all true.
But no, it's so great to see you, and thank you so much for being here. It is amazing the time that's passed. You've been here for a long time.
Well, I was even saying to Sim, I said, I met Chris directing interstitial campaigns for Warner Brothers when I was 25 and he must have been about 23.
Oh my God.
When he was on Everwood.
Wow.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And eerily enough, that was right after then we met because, Sim, we were like 22.
22 or 20, 23.
23 when we did Winter Break.
Wow.
Yeah.
God.
Crazy.
Good times. I just can't believe that my character didn't get to go to Aspen, man.
I know. You got to go to Willow Studios. Was it at Willow that we did those reshoots?
Yeah, and there was porn
shooting next door.
Next door.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yes, I do.
And then they invited us to set.
That was crazy.
I didn't get invited.
Oh, man.
I didn't get invited to fucking Aspen or the porn set. Oh, fuck.
Sim, you've got a lot of like...
I have a lot of... Come up. Yes, yeah. I know. Seriously.
Yeah. Help a girl out.
I want to talk to you more about acting in a minute. And I want to talk to you about your show, This Is Us, which is so brilliant.
Thank you.
And you're brilliant in it.
Thank you.
And it's it's been, I'm sure.
Well, he has two hit shows out right now. You have This Is Us, and you also have the Gilmore Girls revival.
Yeah.
On Netflix.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Damn. You're working long fucking hours.
It's, you know, it's not that bad. I got This Is Us and filmed the pilot. And then beyond the pilot, I went back to Gilmore. I worked 3 days and 3 months. And then the show got picked up and I went to the show and, you know, I've just been on the show. It's just, you know, jumping from job to job and just kind of working.
That's awesome though.
Yeah, it's fun.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
And you so deserve it. And,
thank you.
Yeah. It's amazing.
Thank you.
So now we're going to go, sorry, we're going to move away from acting, but I really do want to ask you like
totally.
Some acting questions later.
I feel like you were just about like hand it off to someone in like the news booth and be like, and now
here's Sim with the news.
Thanks, Milo, for stopping by.
Totally.
Congratulations on everything.
Thanks.
That was a pretty good, what do you think about that voice for a newscaster?
That was good.
I like it.
You had a lot of
inflection. Try it again.
You had a lot of inflection.
Okay.
A lot
okay.
of inflection.
Everyone out. Oh no!
Yeah.
We wouldn't say everyone out there.
Hey, y'all.
Please check out the most brilliant show on television today. This Is Us with Milo Ventimiglia. Milo, thank you so much for coming in studio today.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. You're brilliant. You're charming. You're wonderful. It's been wonderful having you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Donovan,
you can just hear it. You can hear a smile behind the voice. That's the best part about it.
I think I could do better. I need to work on it.
I love that Donovan happens to be there as well.
Donovan is moonlighting. I was about to go to Donovan for the weather.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
he's moonlighting as a meteorologist.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay. Oh, wait. What about this question? This is kind of the worst.
Okay.
So, Milo, you are on. Okay. Let's see. Please welcome Milo Ventimiglia. Thank you. Ventimiglia, right? Ventimiglia?
Yes, Ventimiglia. Yes.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
And A at the end, everyone gets my name wrong as well. Anyway, uh-huh. So you are on a hit show called This Is Us. Please tell us what it's about.
Yeah, that is the toughest fucking question. Well, actually, I'll say this. The worst part about that question for maybe 6 months was we weren't allowed to reveal that the couples, the folks you're meeting in the show are a family. So imagine when you have a show that doesn't have a premise, it doesn't have a big mystery, but there is something to learn. You have to watch the show and we didn't want to ruin it for people. And you're like, it's about life and decisions.
But then when you watch that pilot, that pilot is unbelievable.
Yeah.
I think I texted you
right away.
Yeah. I was blown away by
Dan, Fogelman. Dan Fogelman is a fucking brilliant. Genius. He's incredible.
I loved his movie that he wrote. Was it Crazy Stupid Love?
Crazy mm-hmm. Stupid Love. Right. Yeah, Danny Collins.
So good.
He did Cars.
Right.
He's done so much. And he's so funny in real life. And he's the coolest boss.
Isn't that the
he's
best?
The nicest guy.
Fuck.
Yeah.
That's awesome to have a great boss.
And also, and you know, it's like when the boss is cool, everybody's going to be cool because that bar is set. And all of a sudden, you know, you can't
There's
be
no
the
room
asshole.
For, right.
No.
Like, so, I need my kale juice.
No. Enema.
No. Yeah. Or I'm like an hour late.
No. No excuse because Dan is already there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, he's great. He's great.
Okay, we're going to do this segment called How Do You Proceed? Or How Would You Proceed?
Okay, got it.
Yeah, I don't know if you're ready. Okay.
I'm ready.
You have been dating a beautiful... Okay, imagine you're single. I don't know if you are.
Got it.
We don't have to talk about that part.
Got it.
But we won't. Okay, you've been dating a beautiful personal trainer.
Okay.
Lisa for 3 months.
Okay.
She's a health nut.
Okay.
She loves cooking and her favorite movie is Armageddon.
My God. I mean, not even joking. Already, that is in my top five of my top 10.
I love it.
Yeah.
One night after having amazing sex, she says to you, you're finished. You know, you've had amazing sex.
Okay.
Can I get you a warm washcloth?
Okay.
She then gently removes the condom.
Okay.
Eats it. And exits to grab you the washcloth.
Great.
How would you proceed?
Is there anything wrong with any of that? My guess is this, Anna. My guess is this. In the moments that we're not together, because we spend every waking moment together, she has made friends with a cartel. She is a drug mule. She is tasked with carrying my unborn children to someone on the black market.
I love this.
So, not only is it up to me to find out where it's going, who it's going to, and for how much, if we can repeat the process again, I need to know.
What do you want, like a cut?
I am looking for plausible deniability.
Now, okay.
I think I'm actually misusing the word.
Okay.
The term.
Okay.
Yeah, no, because I'm totally misusing the term, because if I know what it is, then I'm going to...
Sure.
I need to not know. I need to not know. So yeah, I think I'm going to go with the cut. Actually, I don't even want to cut. She's my trainer, hot sex, will give me a washcloth named Lisa.
It's true. So there could be, going with your theory.
Yeah.
You don't mind the little Milos.
Well,
being sold?
Either that,
I mean, or, I don't want to judge. I'm not judging.
Actually, you know what? I'm looking at this thing the whole wrong way. I think that maybe she's testing me to see if, while she is constipated, I'm going to be there for her as she passes a fucking condom. If I'm going to be there for her to, in return, bring her a washcloth, a warm washcloth.
So you are in.
I'm in. If I have a hot trainer, Armageddon loving girlfriend named Lisa, who swallows my condom and gets me a wet washcloth, Anna, Sim, everyone, I am the fuck in.
All right, not a deal breaker.
Not a deal breaker.
I love it. That was amazing.
How many more have we got? Come on, let's keep
going. All right.
We have one more. I wish we had more.
Sim, come up with something on the spot. You
okay,
produce.
We've got another one. You are dating a beautiful Victoria's Secret model.
Okay.
For 2 months.
All right.
You decide to take her to the premiere of your film, your new film, Illustrious Souls.
Illustrious Souls.
Yes.
Okay.
You arrive in a limo or whatever car, you're going to the premiere.
Cadillac sends you a car, you take it.
You are dressed in a Dolce tux.
Okay.
You're groomed.
Mm-hmm.
You pick her up at her house. Mm-hmm. She does well for herself.
Townhouse.
She's
a Victoria's Secret model. She travels a lot. She doesn't want to worry about.
Right.
She doesn't want to worry about, gardeners or burglars. So she needs turnkey.
Yeah.
Turnkey.
Yep. Maybe she lives on Sunset, kind of by Doheny or something like that.
Oh yeah, you gotta be able to walk to whatever those
Sunset Plaza.
Sunset Plaza. Yeah. Sure.
Okay. You pick her up and This might be a deal breaker. Well, no. It just complicates a little bit. Okay. Let's just say you pick her up, okay?
I pick her up. Great.
No. Let's say she's renting a house. a small mid-century house in Beechwood Canyon, okay?
Great.
All right. You pick her up.
Uh-huh.
She is dressed in a gorgeous, smoking gown. That walking on the red carpet,
They're going to look at her, not at me.
No, it's just...
They're going to be impressed with me.
It's going to be your night.
Got it.
It's you, star of Illustrious Souls.
Yeah.
Okay. You're in the driveway staring at her.
Okay.
The driver is holding the door open.
Mm-hmm.
She says, "I have a surprise for you." And she reaches behind her back and she brings out a hose and she sprays you down completely. While laughing hysterically.
I'm showing up wet. I'm showing up wet.
With her?
In the trunk? Now.
She is loving. She's laughing. Yeah, ask questions.
Okay. was this her interpretation of saying to me, "You are hot. I need to hose you down." Or, or is this her way of suggesting that maybe because of illustrious souls? Illuminatus, illustrious souls.
Illustrious souls.
Which I'm sure may be a contender for award season.
Oh, of course it is. Yeah,
no, it's one of those.
Yeah, premiere is in December here.
Totally. Exactly. Is it her way of trying to knock me down a peg because she feels like I'm going to blow up to a point where I'm going to leave her for possibly another supermodel, younger, hotter, blonder?
Nope.
More smoke and jazz than her?
Nope.
Okay.
None of those things.
It's just a surprise.
She just thinks it's hysterical. She wants to, she's a practical, she views herself as a practical joker.
So she, there's a, she probably watches YouTube, right? I'm guessing watches YouTube.
Not only watches, and, she posts.
Oh, so she may even have someone hiding on the other side of the driveway while she pulls the hose out to hose me down with the Cadillac guy waiting there, holding the door for us to go to my premiere?
Her best friend. Lila.
Lila.
Yeah. But she thinks it's so funny because she's a practical joker.
Okay. You know what I think is funny?
What?
Killing her.
Listen, I agree with you.
Yes, I'm with you on that too.
Fuck her.
Yeah.
Fuck her.
Yeah, that would be...
Because, like, listen, people have different interpretations. You can never discount someone and their feelings. So she feels that I look hot, and her way of saying, "You look hot, babe, I need to hose you down." And she hosed me down. Literally, it's like, well, you walk down a stretch of wood for a living, and that's great, but, you know, you...
That she is, sorry, I did not mean to cut you off, but I think that she thinks that it truly was going to be funny and you were going to laugh.
And I might if.
If actually, you had a gun.
No. I'm
probably. No, like, you know what? You know those people that think that a certain practical joke is really funny?
Like the dude that walks around shooting his wife with the Nerf gun? Have you seen that one on YouTube?
No, but that sounds awful.
Yeah, but like literally he'll surprise her and like he will attack her and like poor wife.
That's so fucked up.
And part of me is like, no, she's got to be in on it. She's got to be in on it.
Yeah, I guess at this point, but man, that would be the kind of thing that I think.
Yeah, deal breaker.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Yeah, that would be attic time. Yeah. I'd have to lure him up to the attic and like latch it.
Right. Attic trunk.
Yeah.
You know, submerge the Cadillac in the ocean.
Do you hear a knocking? No.
No.
Don't worry about
that. That's just the muffler. We put in 89 gas, you know, 89 octane gas. Maybe 81. Maybe when they still had leaded.
Yeah.
Remember leaded fuel? Oh my God, leaded fuel. It's like paint.
Didn't it kind of smell good?
I think gasoline smells great.
I do too.
And it's pink. Of all things, gasoline is pink.
I didn't know it was pink.
Yeah. It's pink. Like if you look, you know, look at gasoline, it's kind of pink.
Like a sheen?
Yeah, it's like champagne. It's like the color champagne. Maybe. If you know like how
but
champagne
it has a sheen.
Is the color. Yeah. Yo, like a film. I think that might be the oil that's kind of distributed like petroleum and whatnot to make gasoline.
To you. You know you're mechanical. You know a lot of stuff.
He's actually, I'm not kidding when I say this, but he's like seriously one of the smartest people I've ever met in my entire life. I'm not just saying I told you this a long time ago.
Listen, if there's ever anything really, really wrong in Los Angeles, like disaster, tsunami, zombie apocalypse, come to my house.
Oh, I always said come to my house.
Fine. This is my thing. I say come to my house. I'll be there for 3 days. You'll be safe.
Wait.
You will have provisions, and then after 3 days, I move on. So maybe I pick people up.
Okay.
At
then
my house,
three.
Then
my
I come
place?
To your place
because we have provisions too.
Yeah, you feel fortified. And I feel like you got, you know,
and we're going to climb
high ground.
On this Spanish tile roof
with
our weapons.
Yeah. And just pick off supermodel Victoria's Secret hose bearing people.
Don't you hose me down.
Don't you hose me down.
maybe that's a Karen Sarducci movie.
Don't you hose me down.
Don't you hose me down.
Don't you hose me down. I feel like that could be a musical.
Should we take a break?
Yeah, let's take a 5 minute break and then
we'll take a 5 minute break and then we're calling
then
we're strangers.
Call,
Oh my God. Thank you.
Oh, I just texted Paul.
Put it on airplane mode after you text him. Okay, well, speaking of Paul...
I don't know if I've told you to... Oh, are we recording? I don't know if I told you to fuck off yet.
You haven't yet. You haven't told me to fuck off, which I'm really happy about.
Hey, Sim?
Yes.
I love you.
Love you too.
But fuck off.
But fuck off.
See, he beat you to it.
I know.
Which is so hard because Sim is the sweetest man on the planet.
Aw.
Yeah.
Not that sweet.
We've shared a foxhole.
We have. That's the thing, though, is that Sim... No, you are actually really... You're really kind.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I think
dude, you come from good stock.
We're kind.
Thanks, man. Appreciate that.
You and I are
so
both,
are you. You are, thanks, man. Yeah. You both are very kind.
But Sim and I are kind in like a very narcissistic way. Like, I don't think it would
like occur. It benefits either of you just to be nice.
Like, it wouldn't occur to us to bring nice donuts to somebody's podcast. Yeah.
But, I mean, I was driving past Phonuts, and I thought, hey, maybe you guys would enjoy a vegan, gluten-free, or then a regular vegan, or then a regular gluten-free, or a regular, like, Phonut.
And they were delicious.
They are super tasty.
Good, right?
Yes, and that is so kind of you.
But you're right. We wouldn't have thought of that.
No, because we're narcissists. Like
you'd get there and you'd think,
where's
I want
my
a donut.
Shit?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Why didn't you provide donuts?
That's funny.
Okay.
We do have two calls, but before we get to the first call, let's thank Paul Scheer publicly. He played the role of Milo, your son, Milo, on the...
Which is awesome.
The first little thing.
Thank you, Paul.
So thank you, Paul.
Thank you, Paul.
And now we're calling Jenny. Jenny is in Charleston and she's 32.
Got it.
I love Charleston.
I've never been.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Is it a college town?
Why would you ask me something I don't know?
I feel like it's like in Georgia. And like there's...
Hello?
Hey, Jenny.
Hi.
Anna is here. Anna, you want to say hi?
Hi, Jenny.
And Anna is going to introduce our guest.
Milo Ventimiglia.
No.
Yeah. Yes.
No.
Hi, Jenny. How are you? Milo.
I got to tell you, Jenny.
Oh, my gosh.
Milo has, I am married to a stud. Very, like, he's the best man in the world. But I got to tell you, I'm looking right now at Milo's biceps and it is hard to turn away.
Oh my gosh.
Thank
I'm
you.
So
Anna.
Excited. Okay. All right. I'm so excited.
Well, thank you so much for submitting a question. And I don't know what it is. And Milo doesn't know what it is.
But I know what it is.
But Sim does.
So Jenny, your husband's dream is to get a PhD. Tell us why you're feeling conflicted.
Sure. So, okay, so we are in our kind of early mid-30s age range, and my husband, as Sim said, his dream is to get his PhD in math, and we are kind of right now thinking or hoping to try to start a family soon, kind of after Christmas, and the whole PhD thing, you know, I'm kind of learning right now that includes just so many sacrifices. It's 5 years at minimum where he would be in school full time. Right now he's got a great job. We both have great jobs. We earn, you know, a good income where we feel good. You know, we have plenty of money basically, but it would be 5 years where I would be the sole breadwinner. And then we also kind of live in an area where there are no programs that he could enroll in. So this would mean moving away. I really have no idea where we would end up, you know, and one of my things that I've kind of always dreamed of is being able to raise our family near both sets of grandparents. And, you know, this if we were to start a family, you know, within the next year or so, hopefully, that would mean, you know, our kids would be super young when he, you know, when we're far away from the parents or from the grandparents. So we're kind of, you know, trying to figure out a way to make this work. But it's tough for those two reasons.
I've got so many questions and so many just like thoughts and ideas. Sorry, Jen. Hey, it's Milo. Hi.
I'm excited to hear it. Go for it.
I don't mean to hijack everything you're talking about. I feel like we're all now looking at one another and like we all have so many different things we kind of want to say and step in. I have a question. Is there an end goal with a PhD in mathematics for your husband? Is he like, I want to work for X company, and in order to
do I want to be a professor or...
Yeah, like what is the end goal? Or is it I want to challenge myself and learn equations that nobody's ever learned before and I don't know the application, but I want to have that feather in my cap, so to say?
So I think it's kind of a combination of both. Right now, where we live, he is kind of at the top of his game for what he does.
And what does he do?
You know, that's a great question. is a data scientist, and that's about as much as I can explain about it.
Okay.
He works in tech, kind of a Silicon Valley type job, but not in Silicon Valley. And he loves his job right now, but there's not many jobs like that where we live. And for him to kind of go to the next level, a big part of it is to go on and get this PhD. He is also kind of just like a life learner. You know, he comes home from work and he like does math problems for fun. That's just the type of person he is. So the end game, you know, we're not sure. That's something we're kind of trying to figure out right now. I think probably his pipe dream would be to be a professor. But there's also, you know, we talked about some possibilities of him afterwards going into industry where you could potentially, make a little bit more money, and then being like an adjunct professor or something on the side or at nights or something.
Is there
Is
there a way that you both win? Meaning, knowing that it's going to be 5 years of a program, a mathematics program, maybe there's some sort of year or two of kind of online coursing in a way corresponding with a school that possibly isn't in the city that you live in. At the same time, you are working, you're getting a family. And you know what? If he's studying at home, maybe at a certain point he'll be kind of looking after said kid, if you're starting a family, giving you guys the opportunity to live near.
Does something like that exist, where it's an online type situation? Could that
you know,
work?
No, I don't think there's really online. I don't think that would be his preference. I don't know. I'm really not educated enough on it to speak for him. But I think that's kind of the biggest part of our problem is like the communication behind this. Since it's, you know, kind of, I am super passionate about the family side of things and my wishes for our family. And he is just so super passionate about school. Whenever we try to have this conversation, we even had one last night, you know, it starts off super calm, collected and everything. And then we just kind of both break down and get really defensive over it. And it's, because we know that it's one of these situations where someone has to give something up.
Jenny, if you are really wanting a family, and even if you both were really wanting a family, my experience as a parent is that it falls a lot on the woman. Mm-hmm. And if he is not as passionate and about the idea of having kids and raising kids, he's going to be coming home, and doing his work, and you are going to be, you know, there's going to be days when you're really frustrated when he's not changing a diaper or interacting with a kid and not as involved, and you're working, and it's a tough journey. Even if both people really want kids, it's a tough journey because it really does tidal wave your life. You have to sort of acknowledge that part. You're young. I think that timing is everything when you have these discussions, and if you can,
I was going to say that maybe. Go ahead.
It sounds like you have these discussions, and then they tumble into complete differences, and then in despair, and you feel like, okay, how is this possibly going to work? And of course, you want your family's support because you're going to need it. And if you don't have your family support, then you're going to definitely need outside support, which is it can be expensive. because you're working, you may not want to give up your job. And
are you close mm-hmm. to the grandparents? Like these are your parents, right? Or in his parents?
Yeah. Well, right now, both of our parents live pretty close. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we would, you know, if we were to move away, we would definitely give up some built-in help.
Mm-hmm. I think this is a big one, and I don't think that we can really solve it, because it sounds like your husband isn't quite ready for children, if I'm reading you right, Jenny. And
do you think that's the case?
That's a tough thing for me to say. I'm sorry. I don't know.
You know, I don't know if it's that he's not ready, you know, and maybe I misspoke when I said that, you know, I'm passionate about the family and he's passionate about something else. Cause you know, I didn't mean to say that he's not passionate about starting a family, cause he is. He just, I think kind of has two tracks in his mind right now, you know, where it's like, we want to figure out a way to make, both work, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I was going to say one thing. I think you can get anything you want. You just have to know how to say it. You can get anything you mm-hmm. want in life. You just have to know how to say it. So if you really consider how you're speaking to your husband and the way you're approaching the conversation and delivering to him your desire to have a family and start it in the now-ish world of after Christmas, which is like 3 weeks away. Don't say that. Mm-hmm. That's the wrong thing to say. but I think it's you have to... God, I don't know. It's just there is a way to speak to someone. Like, I don't.
It's time. Yeah. Too. But I also think that, and I don't know what quite the right phrasing for this would be. But if your husband is a constant learner and a lifelong learner, mm-hmm. I don't know why you couldn't have two kids, and when they're 4 and 6, when things get a lot easier, he couldn't work on his PhD at that point. You know, I mean, there's no rush on for him if he is a lifelong learner to get his he likes his job. It would yeah. be different if he hated his job and he, you know, mm-hmm. but if yeah. he likes his job.
That's what I was going to say too. He likes his job right now.
Why? Yeah, and he's young.
Yeah.
And so, you know, why not get his PhD at age 40 and continue to...
And by that point, he'll have saved enough... You guys will have saved enough money
and
to where...
And the kids will be yeah. so much easier to take care of, too. It's that you won't need the kind of help that you need when the kids are 2. You know, 0 to 2 is really hard.
Right.
And you will need help and it does cause stress in your relationship.
But going back to Milo's point, it's all about
yeah.
how you say it.
Right.
And
yeah.
what you say yeah, kinda, and when you say it.
Yeah. Right. Kind of marrying the two
yeah.
two ideas that Anna was saying. And
but do you think that there's something else, like in this drive for getting his PhD, is there something else? Is there like an escapism thing that he's going for? Like do you know what I'm saying? Is there something deeper under, like does he want to, is this sort of like a I want
to
climb Mount Everest sort of a thing? Do you know what I'm saying? Like,
if that's the case, see the Gyllenhaal movie and just don't do it.
But do you know what I mean? Like is this
does he want this as a feather in his cap?
Is it more of like a subconscious escape? Like, I got to do this because I'm unhappy in some other way. Or do you know what I'm saying? Like, this is, I need to run the Boston Marathon, but for whatever reason. Do you see what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, no, I understand your point for sure.
I just don't know.
He's like a total perfectionist and likes to kind of always be striving for something. You know, so he doesn't do well, he's not complacent, you know, he's got to continue to be active and doing, you know, I guess like learning new things and things like that. So I think that's kind of where it comes from. And certainly getting your PhD in math is kind of, I think, at least from my uneducated standpoint, is, you know, the pinnacle of
that. I tell you what, at children's birthday parties, that is going to crush.
There you go.
Yeah. Hey, kids, you guys know how many zeros and ones and, you know, can stack up to make a birthday cake?
Yeah, it sounds like, you know, when he gets his PhD, there's going to maybe be something else. He may just have that personality type there's going to be something else that he strives for. And that's a great quality. Mm-hmm. But it also, he may not find, you know, your kids like incredibly interesting until they're like six. And then, because that happens. That I felt like that happened with me. I love, you know, my son to pieces, but you know, the first 2 years, they're like these adorable. He was like this bald headed little blob, and now that he's speaking, like I find him so much more. I find a whole different kind of connection with him and with like sort of I don't know. So. And your husband may very well find the exact same thing, but the price that you pay for that is feeling like you're doing a lot of the heavy lifting.
Yeah. I mean, delaying it is something that I don't think we really had thought about too much. Just with the place he is right now, he's got to finish up a master's, which he's working on right now. So we'd be looking at not starting for another 2 years anyways. But I hadn't really thought about delaying until, you know, the kids were five or six. I guess probably just because we don't realize how much goes into childcare for, you know, an infant or a toddler or anything. So I hadn't really thought about that idea.
I feel like raising a child is like a lifelong PhD degree. Like you're constantly going. There's going to be a lot put into making sure that you don't raise an asshole and that they're healthy and cool. And all of that.
I think that's the exact quote we put. We don't want to raise an asshole into our questions.
They've written books about it.
Yeah, I know. I mean, you're going to step on Legos in the middle of the night and it hurts.
It hurts, I'm sure.
But
right, so let's give Jenny some final advice before
God,
she goes.
Jenny, though, but I don't quite know what to... I think the best, I guess, the best unqualified advice, and I think hopefully Milo can... and Sim can chime in with their pieces too, but I think that I think that you really need to figure out how much your husband wants a child and at what time he wants a child.
Yeah,
and that will be and if you can figure out a way where that doesn't end in where if you can figure out a way for extreme patience during these kinds of conversations where he doesn't feel a tremendous amount of pressure to give you an answer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Don't put his back up against the wall. Also maybe from just like a guy's standpoint, Sim, you know, I don't know in a man's mind that there's ever a right time. I think for a woman too. Yeah. I mean, I think, but a lot of women, they're pressured of, oh my God, I'm 30, eggs are dying or any of this. And like, I don't know these things. I'm a caveman. But for men, we're not driven in that way of, I have to be a father by the time I'm 32, 35, any of that. Right.
But right. Yeah.
So I think for guys, that kind of ticking clock isn't on our minds. So we basically just kind of go, okay, this is what my wife wants. I want my wife to be happy, as well as I know that this is a massive undertaking. But you know what? I'm going to be able to influence a mind, a young mind, and shape a human being. And that's pretty damn cool.
Yeah. 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 There's moments of extreme frustration when you realize that your husband has not done a diaper count and there's one left and you think, why didn't he see that this was going to be a
problem? What though, Anna? You know what's great? This guy's he's a mathematician. He's going to count those diapers.
That's true.
I was going to say, maybe you could plot them with like, hey, then, there's homework to do.
But then there's moments when the baby is in bed with you and you're both staring at it and you realize like an hour has gone by and you're just looking at
like trying to find yourself and trying to find who this individual is and looking at like the little eyelashes and the tiny little fingernails and that kind of, and your brain is totally numb because you're fucking tired. But anyway, so I think continue the conversations, but I definitely, timing and patience, and it sucks that it's kind of on you to
push the ball forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, to push the ball forward and to have like the control of like not, of you know, the patient shit. I hate that shit. But that's the best advice I have. Oh God.
Jenny, thank you so much.
Will you keep us posted and best of luck. And also you guys are really young. I didn't have my baby till, I got pregnant at 35 and had him at 36 and now I'm 40. Oh God.
It's okay. Anyway,
thanks.
There's nothing wrong
thanks,
with that.
Milo.
Yeah, totally.
Oh my gosh. But I have to tell you, at the end of this sheet Jenny.
Oh, that's right.
So I never get these sheets, Jenny, that Sim prints out. But at the end, It says, P.S. When is Milo Ventimiglia coming on your show? I'm dying for Milo and Ventimiglia to meet their namesakes. They did earlier, and I can't wait for
did
you.
Did they?
Yeah.
Yes.
One
yes.
half. One
but
half.
I love it, Jenny, that you're a fan, and thank you so, so much. And I wish that I could tell you, like, get knocked up. And I do want you to get knocked up.
Because it's fun.
Well, sort of.
Yeah.
But, okay, we love you.
Thanks,
very,
Jenny.
Very much.
Thanks, Jenny.
Sim, you kind of cut
her
off.
I cut her off by accident.
She was, man, she had the most profound thing to say right then.
I know, I know. I'm sorry, Jenny.
Wish,
Jenny,
don't
actually,
you wish,
yeah.
Like, we had, I love that question, but what do we do?
You know what? You guys did great. This was a tough one. I threw a tough one at you guys, and you
There's
guys
no
it's knocked
easy
it out
answer.
Of the park.
No, and it's also without knowing the husband or getting him on the phone, like, bro.
It sounds like she does not want him to do this PhD for a while. It just sounds like when she doesn't know how
also,
to say it to him.
It also sounds like, well, why? What is the rush? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when, you know, we as that age of being 10 years past 30, you think about that. You're like, no, you're good.
Yeah.
You have time. But when you are in that
That's
moment,
true.
You don't. You no, I have to do
right.
it now.
Totally.
Why
true.
Do you have to do it now?
Yeah.
What's the hurry? What's the rush? Just say it's fine.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah.
You'll get there. The party will start when you arrive.
I love it. I love it. We have one more call, guys.
We need to end on that. Will you say
I'll say it again. I'll totally say it again.
Okay, we'll do the sound.
The party will end I leave. Got it.
Chris just came home with some boxes.
His arms were full.
I know.
Do you like with like boxes of
I don't know.
Treats?
Were you expecting like Amazon delivery or something?
I don't know. It's probably shit for him, you know, like free watches and shoes and
that's pretty
he
cool.
gets some cool stuff huh?
I know but I don't where's
you
my
get, you get a smiling husband
and I get Milo on my show.
Here we go for part one of Milo Ventimiglia visits.
Yes, how many parts will there be?
What's your middle name?
Undetermined. Anthony.
Anthony.
Mav is my kind of
love
name sometimes.
All right, so you guys ready for one more call?
Milo Anthony Ventimiglia Mav. Yeah,
I love that.
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it.
We're just talking until.
I know.
Until you hear the boop, boop, boop.
There we go.
Yeah.
Boop, boop, boop. All right, so we're going to call
have
Rachel.
Reached the voicemail box. 4155.
That was in San Francisco, right? 415?
Yeah, I think so.
Get out of here. That's incredible. I have a very dear friend that works in radio. Named Dino, and Dino,
come here.
No,
oh, I want to hear
we
that
have a visitor. Look who it is.
Hi, Jack. Come here.
Hi, buddy.
Come here. Can you come say hi?
I saw Santa.
What?
Here, Santa.
Say it into the microphone.
Hi.
Say what is your name?
Jack.
Yak. Your name is Yak.
Yes.
What happened today?
I went and see Santa.
You saw Santa.
Hey, Jack.
That was so cool.
Can you say hi to my friend Milo?
Hi, Milo.
Hi, Jack. How you doing, buddy?
Good.
Was it fun meeting Santa?
Yeah.
Did you tell him what you want for Christmas?
Yes.
What do you want?
Helicopter that I can fly around my house.
A helicopter you can fly around your house? That's incredible.
Can you say hi to Sim and Amy and Cassie and Miriam? Say hi, Sim.
Hi, Sim.
Hi, Jack.
Hi, Amy.
Hi, Amy.
Hi, Jack. Hi, Cassie.
Hi, Cassie.
Don't take that off.
I have a dying want, Anna, for your son to expletive Sim. Sorry.
Wouldn't that be wonderful?
Says the man with no children.
Bye, Jack. I love you.
Bye, buddy.
Bye. Cassie, are we good?
A helicopter that flies
around the house. You on that?
Adorable.
Chris is on that? I think that was in the box.
Oh, it's ringing now, guys.
Okay. 415 San Francisco.
We're calling Rachel. She's 39. And she's
hello.
I think she's in Colorado. Rachel.
Hi, Rachel.
Hi.
Hey, it's Sim. You're not in. Are you in Colorado or in San Francisco?
I am in Colorado. I did live in San Francisco.
415 area code.
Are you? Wait. Okay. I have to tell you. Our special guest today is Milo Ventimiglia.
Hi.
Ah, amazing.
What's up, Rachel? In Colorado, formerly of SF.
Oh, thank you so much for submitting a question. Okay, tell us about it.
Yeah, Rachel, you're friends with a married couple who have put you in a tight spot. So tell us what's going on here.
Whoa.
Okay. So I have two friends that are married. When I lived in San Francisco, I became really good friends with the musician husband. We worked at a video store together. It was almost 10 years ago. I fell in love with his kids. I don't have kids, but I babysat for free and I got to know the wife and just felt like part of their family. And then we both went our separate ways. I went back east. They went to New Jersey. I ended up in Colorado. Still stayed friends with them. The wife doesn't really have a lot of close friends. So I think she would call me, you know, in times of crisis. And the husband and I stayed in touch. We went to a few shows back east. And, you know, he's the one that kind of is in a band and, you know, has a really vibrant life. And she's like the stay-at-home mom who hasn't really, like, been able to, like, find herself. So that's kind of a little bit of background for them. And the husband and I have stayed in touch. When I worked at a desk job, he and I would IM. I got sober 3 years ago and went into my...
Oh, good for you.
Thank you so much. And I wanted to let you know that it's so meaningful. You know, I got sober like the month before mom came on, and me and all my litter mates like in AA would like really appreciated that show coming out. And
oh, good.
Anyway.
Well, good for you. Okay.
Thank you.
So, Rachel, so tell us what happened.
So basically, they had marital problems this year. I've stayed in touch with them, but lost kind of touch with him. She will call me, actually call me. And so she was in such crisis, like, you know, wasted, like just, I think something's going on. And then she has all the passwords to his phone and his computer and like basically looked at all of his stuff and found out that he cheated on her. And then, so she still wants to work things out with him. On the phone with me a lot. I suggest therapy. She goes to therapy. She gets back on her like antidepressants and things seem to be going well. And then she plans a trip this year to see me last month. And we had a great time. Not so fun for me because she's still in crisis, still checking his stuff. I was a little bit angry with him, you know, like, oh, he cheated, you know, because I've been cheated on and that's, you know, not great. And then anyways, last week I was making a mixtape for a crush I have, and he's a musician and loves the same kind of music. And I was like, hey, do you have any good songs? And he was like, yeah, here's a list. And by the way, why are we not friends? And, you know, I've tried to IM you a bunch. And I'm just like, well, I don't have a desk job or IM on anything anymore. I'm doing what I love now. And so
she's not sure if she should tell the guy.
Wait, okay, so he has no idea that she knows.
Right. So she's feeling conflicted because she's not sure if she should tell this guy, her friend, that his wife can see all of these messages because his wife confided in her and now she is conflicted. Like, should I tell this guy?
But at the same time, the wife is potentially seeing a conversation you're having with the husband.
Right, exactly.
He's asking about, he's asking about music, but he's also asking, why are we not friends?
Right. So there's a little bit of...
Can I suggest?
And I was compelled to call him and be like, just call me. But I'm like such a big mouth. Like I am like the biggest big mouth ever. And I would feel like I would totally tell him, and I feel like I don't want to get involved in their marriage, so I've been a little bit like just like ducking them. Because the next day, she texted me and was like, "Hey, I have all this, you know."
First off, she's
to do something for her.
She's got to stop looking at the messages.
I think okay, Rachel, this is drastic.
Yeah,
I think that you have to tell them, and I wouldn't do it over the phone. I would do it like private Facebook message or however you guys normally communicate. I wouldn't do it over the phone, but I would say, listen, you guys, I love you both so much. I have to take some time for myself right now because, you know, as you know, I'm sober and I sort of need to like focus on what I'm doing, and I love you both, and I just need a little breather from your relationship, and I'll contact you guys in a few months, because truly, Rachel, this is a lose. Mm-hmm. There is nothing you can do that is going to make this situation better. And I would put it on like the idea of like focusing on you and what you're doing, because there is absolutely nothing you can mm-hmm. do to save the relationship. There's if mm-hmm. you tell him that she's been looking, that's going to cause a whole thing. Mm-hmm. Like this is their problem, and they've involved you.
This is their field to plow,
and you have to extricate yourself from this
as soon as possible.
That's what I think. And I know you may miss them, and they're going to miss you, and they're very dependent, weirdly dependent on you right now. And that would be my advice.
Do these folks live in San Francisco and you're in Colorado?
I met them in San Francisco. They live in New Jersey now.
They're even further.
It's
not like something. Yeah, you're communicating, I'm sure, text, emails, things like that, and maybe phone calls, FaceTime. Right. Right. But you're not actually in the vicinity of them daily all the time.
I plan on visiting them. I mean, they're that.
Don't visit
them.
And
I love
not yet.
I'm not going to.
Finality that Sim is giving and the kind of soft kind of suggestion that Anna is giving.
No, because you want to send your love, but I think that it's time for, I think you can say, listen, I'm going through some stuff. I don't, you know, but like
taking on your kind of hard times is a bit much on me as
a
person.
You know what? I wouldn't even go that far. I would just say, I'm really working on my sobriety. I love you guys so much. I need to take some time for myself. And I love
you. But they know me so well that they're like, we know you're so happy.
Hold on a second. Like, wait. Okay,
and
hold
like,
on a minute.
They would be like, that's a bullshit. Like,
Rachel.
We know you're happy.
Rachel. Yeah. Do you enjoy being in the middle of any of this? Like, do you actually appreciate having...
It's a really good question, Milo.
No, but it's a question of, like, you know, sometimes people that, you know...
They enjoy the drama,
Sure. But, I mean, is there something...
Especially... I mean, that's something I work on completely. I know I'm like a...
I mean, I feel like you could...
People pleaser, so...
I feel like you could advise your girlfriend, hey, look, the more you choose to not handle this with your husband, just the mm-hmm. more miserable you're going to be over the course of time. And things may burn white hot if she addresses it right away. It may be like a tough day, mm-hmm. a tough week, a tough month, a tough year. But you know what? Once they get past that, if she decides to address the problem and then move past it mm-hmm. for a resolution or you know, an understanding with her husband, well, then she's going to get back to a better, happier life. And if that better, happier life possibly is not being with this husband, well, then that's what is going to happen for her relationship. On the other end, for him, if he's saying, why are we not friends? You know, you may just say, like, listen, man, I'm busy in my life. I'm focusing on my life. How about you focus on your life a little bit?
Yeah. Or you don't have to say that, but maybe say like,
your wife has confided in me and said that things are having problems. Like, you guys okay? Like, you guys should, like, she loves you. Why don't you guys get together and talk?
Yeah, and I would just extricate yourself. Like, I said, listen to me. I know so many vocabulary words.
Yeah, I mean, that was the feeling I had.
But no, and just say for like a month, you know, because right now they're both very dependent on you. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, it is a lose-lose.
Lose.
Like, yeah, like if you tell him that this other shit's going on and you tell her that this other shit's going on.
You don't need a paper trail.
You don't need a paper trail.
Yeah.
True.
And
if you care about these people, if you truly care about these
folks, they need to do it themselves.
Set them straight. Be like, hey guys, you both, and maybe, you know, Anna's right. It's like if you had them both on like a quick FaceTime. I love you guys. I care about you as a couple. I care about you individually. You guys have some things you need to work out. I can't be involved in that.
Yeah.
If you gal, or, you know, if the wife is going to therapy and the husband's going to therapy, maybe they go to therapy together. If the husband's not going to therapy or he's not willing to go to therapy, well, she got to address that. Guess what, Rachel? It's totally. Her marriage. It's not yours.
Yeah.
You didn't marry the guy. You're not in Utah. It's not polyamorous or anything like that.
And just say, you know, maybe I'll check you. I love you guys. I'm gonna call you on January 15th. And I love you. And I really hope that you guys like figure all this out, because I just truly care about you. But I'm not equipped to handle.
How often do you talk to either of them?
Well, she. After her visit, which was a little rough on me, you know, it's like maybe a couple times a month, and then more she calls me when she's in crisis, like something might happen. And he, like, obviously I haven't talked to him in like a year or so, like pretty much throughout my sobriety. I mean, we're social media friends. They know what's happening with me, and I know what's happening with them and their kids. But I can definitely avoid them.
But you're carrying the secret, you know, when you talk to her about his cheating. Right,
and you're
carrying that with you, and I just think that taking a break from all of that—that's a burden that you don't need.
Yeah,
and
that's the thing. It's not even about avoiding someone so much as addressing for yourself to this couple that you care about them. Say, guys, I'm taking a break from you because A, I can, and B, I need to for your own personal. Health and well-being.
I can't wait to go to the Florida Keys in 3 years.
Rachel, are you good with that? Rachel.
Oh, Rachel.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Yeah, but I'm sorry, though.
I appreciate you guys so much. And, you know, the election was such a bad year for election, but I think the crime of the century was that Milo did not get Sexiest Man Alive this year. He is...
Dude, let me tell you something, Rachel. Dwayne The Rock Johnson. How the fuck do you compete with him?
It's ridiculous.
That
you
dude is
everywhere.
Funny.
And
he's intelligent. He's good looking. He's strong.
No, but you're a side talker. You're a side talker, and that is the hottest thing ever.
By the way, I can't even control it. I was I was born with a crooked mouth.
I know.
I was born with a crooked mouth. There's nothing I could do about it.
Oh my God. Didn't Sly Stallone hired you? Part of the reason he hired you is
off
because...
of my mouth, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, because he and I did this movie, Rocky Balboa, and I went in for my meeting with Sly, and I'm telling a story, and he says to me, I'm talking about some reshoots on a movie I have to do, and I have a beard. And he goes, well, I hope it's not biblical. And I go, no, it's not. And we start laughing, and then he looks at me, and he goes, wow, his lip. It even hooks down like mine does. And he turns to the casting director and gives this nod and a smile.
Oh,
like,
my God, that must have felt so good.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Awesome.
Thank you so much, Rachel.
Thanks, Rachel. Yeah, happy holidays. And thanks so much for helping me out. I appreciate it.
Oh, yeah. And I'm sorry that you may have to take a break from your friends, but I bet it's for the best. And also, I bet you're going to return. In a good way.
Yeah.
Whatever happens.
Well, I'm going to go get a massage. And you guys
good.
Have a great Saturday night.
Damn, I love you.
I know, right?
Sounds good.
Bye.
Okay, bye.
Okay.
Wait, I mean, like at the very end, I'm going to go get a massage. I'm like, oh man, now I have no sympathy for you. Because you're going to be relaxed as fuck in about 10 minutes.
But that's hard to be put in the middle of
friendship.
Of a relationship like that and knowing secrets.
Have you ever been in a position like that? I'm not asking
like in the
you
middle
for,
of
yeah,
something?
In the middle of something where you know you should not be in that situation.
Mm. I think you have.
Oh, many times. The best thing to do is to completely remove yourself.
Yeah.
Just say, I'm not a part of this.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah,
love you both.
This is about
done.
You. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's awfully hard to keep the secret of infidelity. Mm-hmm. And because you know what? All this shit comes out. mm-hmm. all eventually comes out. Sometimes mm-hmm. yeah. it takes years, but it fucking comes out. And then you sort of have to live with those consequences. At the same time, being the messenger is incredibly difficult, especially if you don't have accurate information, or, you know, it's unbelievably hard. I like to tell my friends, please don't tell me any secrets.
Because I have a podcast.
Yeah, and I don't have that many friends anyways, except for...
It's okay. You don't need many.
I don't. Truly. That is what
it's
I've
okay.
learned.
Yeah.
I'm 40 and I've learned that I don't need that many friends.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But I love all my podcast listeners, and thank you so much for a wonderful evening or morning or wherever the hell you guys
Let's also thank Entertainment Weekly.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Entertainment Weekly.
You too, Milo. So yeah. Entertainment Weekly is the new best of issue is in newsstands right now. That's a new double issue. And we are so thankful and lucky. We were, they gave us number one podcast.
Which is awesome.
Of the year. So,
so awesome.
So thank you, Henry Goldblatt and Christina Everett and everyone else at Entertainment Weekly. It's amazing. It's an amazing honor.
And Milo, congratulations on your incredible show.
Thank
this
you.
Is us.
Yeah. And you,
thank
and that
you.
Made the list as well for
yeah.
top shows on
yeah.
Entertainment Weekly.
Yes.
You both are on the cover of Entertainment Weekly at the same time.
Right now.
Sweet.
Right we now. Just high five.
I'm sort of like weirdly in the tiny corner. You have to look hard. I'm like Waldo.
But the best part about it is you're kind of like hollering out, you know, you're kind of like calling off, and I'm on the
sexy as always,
and I'm on the other side of
I'm
the magazine.
You.
Yeah,
Milo,
I got some kids named you. Where the fuck did that come from?
What
naming Garen Sarducci's kids Milo and Ventimiglia?
Paul Scheer.
It was Paul Scheer. He came up with it.
Yeah, he came up with it during the improv on the spot. And
oh
he had no
God.
Idea that we knew each other. No, this is completely coincidental.
Yeah. I like to take credit for a lot of things, but that one I cannot take credit
wow.
for.
Wow.
Yeah, so yeah. Milo.
That's incredible.
We travel all over the world, and we do, and they have their finger on the pulse of Hollywood.
Jeez, man.
So Karen listens to everything
that's amazing.
That they say. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. I know. So thank you.
Milo, thank you. Congratulations again.
Thank
man.
You guys. No, you
it's
guys
been
the best.
Amazing.
Volume one yes. complete. What was it? When I leave the party ends.
Oh no! I thought when you started the party, all your friends leave. No.
When you get
when
listen,
you,
the party will
the party
start when
catered.
You get there.
Oh.
It's catered by Bruce's. By Bruce's, right? Bruce's. If you don't know anything, Bruce's is like every Hollywood. Production is catered by Bruce's. And you're like, dude, Bruce is a busy
yeah.
dude.
But his food's
Tim,
amazing.
When we make
yeah.
money, can we do Bruce?
We can definitely do Bruce's.
yeah.
Right now we have to charge our celebrity guests. This will cost
donuts. This will cost you donuts, man. Don't fucking show up without donuts.
But wait, really, what was it?
The party will start when you get there. So listen, when you leave,
yeah.
the party's gonna stop.
That's what it was, right?
Well, that's the opposite.
That feels
was
like
that
the narcissist
ender?
Motto.
I mean, look, the two of you guys are talking about narcissism. I'm kidding. Yeah,
okay.
I brought donuts to this party.
Okay, so yeah, so no, wait. So no one's having fun.
But me.
Until they take off their clothes, right? Or no.
Yeah.
No.
Where did that come from?
I'm just trying to remember the motto. So wait, when you open the door, the party says surprise.
And
you
then
get scared
you
and
tell
cry,
them
and
that
you
like
leave.
Your grandmother died, yeah, and they all feel really bad.
Awesome. Okay, so live with that.
Right.
That's Milo's
oh my
life
God.
Advice.
I know. Seriously, just yeah.
Oh, the party starts when you get there, and then it ends when you leave.
For you? Yeah. Because you know we all gotta like do our own. Yeah. I'm just gonna stop.
Follow us on Unqualified and all social media. Thank you so much. Good night.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night. She's unqualified.